President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and this is January 18th on the East Coast, or January 17th on the West Coast, the year 2008. And I'm going to be discussing a number of things tonight. At the last moment, I decided I was going to do a little bit of research and look into a story that I have mentioned in passing the last couple of nights, mostly because it's an event that just occurred very recently, and that's the New Hampshire primary election involving the presidential candidates of note, and there have been some interesting developments there. However, before we go into that, I want to welcome all the wonderful listeners out there, folks that have been sending email and calling in appreciation of Michael Anthony and his private stock. And if you're interested in that, you can contact me via my website, Direct Light Productions, with an S on the end, .com. That's directlightproductions.com. You can go to the Contact Us page, and you'll see my email address there, and you can send me an email that you would like to get in touch with Michael and have him talk to you about herbs as an alternative to not just building up your immune system, but overcoming some issues that you may have. And Michael is very, very willing to answer your questions and explain in great detail the power of God's gifts. So I want to again thank Michael for sharing that wonderful information with us last night, as he does every time he's on Evident Footprints. And again, thank all the folks that have responded in some manner. Now, current events. Let's see. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I will be broadcasting from The Haven in Winter Park, Florida. And The Haven is going to be the location for a Ron Paul rally, which is really a big festive event with live music featuring Soul Function. And that's a group headed by a 25-year friend of mine, Fred Badali, who is now in Florida. Fred and I met when I was out in California working in the music industry. And Fred's an excellent musician, a drummer, has worked with a lot of famous people, and has a really, really great band. He is footing the bill for the event. And he welcomes any support he can get from folks that will go out there. There is a $10 cover charge, but for a three-hour event packed with music, great music. And I've heard the band. They're excellent. And also there's going to be some discussion there during the breaks, probably before and after as well, regarding Ron Paul's candidacy, and the event is to bring enlightenment to the folks out there and anyone else that is going to be in that area or would like to travel down there to help make the event a big success. Now, on the 23rd, our intention, and it looks like this is going to happen, is to stream the event live on BBS Radio TV. And that will be occurring at from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm excited about it. Fred's excited about it. Everyone there is really excited. Now, the owner of the Haven happens to be an active army, well, I don't know his rank, so let's say person, and his name is Peter Nelson, and Peter and I had a chance to talk about some just things going on in the world, and he really feels strongly about Ron Paul's chances and certainly wants to help. He and I talked about how important it is to support the president, who is our commander-in-chief, and I told him that under most circumstances, I would agree with that, but not when the president is undermining our Constitution. And I was very blunt with Peter, but he listened and actually became a bit enlightened and welcomed everything I had to say. It was a very non-judgmental discussion that we had. And I thanked him for his service. And I, again, if he's listening, I'm thanking him again for his service. He's actually home right now recuperating from injuries that he received in the theater over there in the Middle East. So we want to wish him well. Thank him not just for his service, but for his willingness to take a stand and at least promote one of the candidates. So, January 23rd, that's next Wednesday, that event will be taking place in Winter Park, Florida at The Haven. And I'll be giving a little bit more information about that either later on tonight or definitely during tomorrow's show, as well as next week starting Monday and Tuesday evening. I'll be broadcasting there. And my guest next week, really three nights in a row, will be Fred Badali. And Fred is a remarkable person and, as I mentioned already, an excellent musician and someone that I'm looking forward to having on the show. He's very knowledgeable and quite a funny guy, too. Now, the current events in New Hampshire. Last night I reported an anomaly that came up in regard to the Granny Warriors, who had gone out and raised somewhere around $63,000, and PayPal had frozen their account. Now, what we have heard is that they had eventually released the funds, but in the meantime, someone else took a stand anonymously and paid the $55,600 fee to pay for what really is a recount. They will not recount the votes without that money being put into some account. I don't know if it's through the Secretary of State or the election, the Board of Elections, or who actually administers it, and we may find that out before the end of the show. However, this person anonymously put up the money, and it ensured that regardless of what happened with this PayPal account, that the recount would be able to proceed. Now, what came out later this evening, as far as I know, it may have been discussed earlier in the day, but there was an individual from the state of Michigan, Albert Howard, who is actually running for the presidency in 2008, put up the money, and I don't know if this was from his personal funds or from his campaign funds. That's not been made clear. But nonetheless, he felt that it was warranted, and he took a stand. Now, I didn't know much about Mr. Howard, and I listened to him this evening on another network. In fact, right now, while my show is going on, he's still being interviewed, but I encourage you to stay here. I'm not going to tell you where I heard his interview, so you stay here. I found what he had to say was very eloquent and very probing and right on spiritually. In fact, he was just coming out and saying many of the things that I and other talk show hosts have been saying in terms of what's happening to our Constitution, what's happening with this secret government or shadow government, whatever you want to call it, and their designs to assist others in the world in creating a new world order and basically turning us all into slaves. And I listened to this man talk for quite some time, and I thought, this is a very intelligent man. Not just because he agreed with me, but he was very discerning and very logical about what he was saying. And I have to say that my research and the research of others with which I am very familiar was supported by the things this man was saying, although he was not talking about people's research. He was just laying the truth out there. And he seemed to know the same things. He seemed to know what's at the root cause of all of these problems, be they financial or religious or political or scientific. It really doesn't matter what specific area one would want to dissect and examine. He hit all the main bullet points all the way across the board. I wasn't even sure who I was listening to as I heard this man. I tuned in maybe a couple of minutes after he had been introduced, and it wasn't until they took a break that I heard his name, and he said his website. So he didn't give out the website address, but I Googled his name, Albert Howard, and I ended up on a website, AlbertHoward.org, and the main title next to his picture on the webpage is Albert Howard for U.S. President, 2008. And Albert Howard happens to be a black man. Now, that doesn't matter whatsoever to me and to many other people. Some people have a problem, though, and while I was listening to the show, a woman phoned in. I won't use her name. She only gave her first name. She began attacking Mr. Howard. And I thought, this is really crazy because I've heard this woman speak before. I've heard her speak about government corruption. And he was basically outlying the same argument that many others have, including this caller. And she just began with a venom attacking him, attacking his character, and I thought to myself, okay, there's something that I don't know about this that really got this woman upset. Well, it wasn't until I saw his picture and realized that he was a black man that I understood that this was racism that I was hearing coming out of this woman's mouth. More than anything else, there was no logic. It was just a lot of anger and a lot of frustration. And really, I use the word venom, and I'll repeat it again. It was just venom coming out of her mouth. And he was very eloquent, and he wasn't condescending. He was actually forgiving, almost apologetic for the way she talked to him. And so I went to his site before the show, and I began looking at some things there. Now, for those of you who are not able to listen to the show and maybe look at a browser or another page on your browser, I thought I would read some of these things. And those of you who are listening in the dark maybe and don't feel like opening your eyes and looking at a computer screen, there are some interesting things on his page, and I'm going to read just a few of them. Now, keep in mind, I'm repeating myself. I know nothing about this man's background, so I'm going to find it out while I find out, or while you are finding it out. Let's learn about this together. This is quite interesting, some of the things he has to say. And I'm going to quote off of his homepage now. The angel of the Lord told me in January of 1992 that Hillary Rodham Clinton and I would meet and be running against each other, and that she would lose. And that's end of quote. Of course, that's attributed to Albert Benjamin Howard. On his homepage, there's actually a picture. It looks like his college graduation, and he's shaking hands with her. I don't know if she had given the speech there, but she's got a gown on, too, so most likely that's the case. He goes on to say, the Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people. It is an instrument for the people to restrain the government. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government. Those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. Now, Albert Howard has appeared on ABC World News Tonight with Charles Gibson. He has appeared on C-SPAN. He was actually at a presidential debate forum there, and there is a YouTube video of him. He, as recently as October 23rd of 2007, Albert Howard actually interviewed Ron Paul. And I'm a bit embarrassed that I haven't yet heard that interview, but again, I repeat that I just heard about this man tonight. Much like many people are just hearing about Ron Paul. So, now, if he's going to be running against Hillary Clinton, you wonder now, is he a Democrat or is he a Republican? And at this point, you know, I don't really care. In fact, I don't really care what party Ron Paul is running with, what platform that he's going to follow, because he's really his own platform. He's his own man and his own platform. And I heard that in Albert Howard's voice tonight and the words he spoke. There's a video on YouTube of him filing for the New Hampshire primary. So this is not just something he did. He captured it on film. And there are several videos there. He's got also a YouTube video where he shows his family. So I get the impression, first of all, that he's a little bit low-key, and he's a family man. He's educated, and from what I heard him speak, he's very eloquent. In fact, I didn't hear the word nuclear, nor did I hear the word nuclear, but I would venture to guess that he would pronounce it correctly. Now, on his welcome page, this is not the home page, his second page, welcome to alberthoward.org. Thank you for visiting alberthoward.org. Please run with me as I am heading for the greatest challenge of my life. Many are you who have supported me throughout the years, and I want to personally thank you. Join my campaign today and make a difference in this world. Our nation needs a man of prayer as their commander-in-chief. I believe I am the right choice. There is that saying, quote, the most influential people in the world are not presidents or kings, but those that know how to get their prayers answered, unquote. Let us combine the two. For honor, for country. And there's a picture of his wife, Ingrid, and him. And it says that they've been married for 12 years and have 8 children. So he's sounds like he's pretty productive. Okay, now he goes on, and this is something which he calls Unlock the Secrets. Dear reader, whether it is good or bad, and I should say listener, since you're listening, whether it is good or bad, there is always a distinct beginning of matters. Maybe you do not believe this, but people, situations, and often opportunities hide from our view. It all has to do with frequencies and the perception of time. If we are alert and tuned in, Much like a radio, then we can discover great things and hear about the most sought-after question, what is my purpose here on Earth? In 1991, outside of the U.S. Army Band's office, there was such a time in Albert's life, crucial time to hear and a place where things were revealed. You will be the next president of the United States. Albert asked when. The answer was, after Bush. Now stay with me. This was at the time when George H.W. Bush was in office and nobody knew about Clinton or George W. Bush. But the eternal source, which is our Father, knows everything from the beginning to the end, and he was giving Albert a glimpse of his purpose. Next time that the future bled through into the now was in the year of 2000. We were walking with the children in Hollywood, California, near Sunset Boulevard, when an interracial couple blurted out real loud, "Hey, look, the President of the United States." We then realized that they were angels, messengers sent out to encourage us. Sometimes you can be waiting for something to happen and nothing happens. Then you start to wonder about how it could be possible, but you know deep within that it is coming. That is how it was for me when I was in Sweden. I was in April of 1994, or it was in April of 1994, and the Holy Spirit said, "This is the year you are going to meet your husband." Friends were wondering, where is he going to come from? They were saying, "How is it possible for you to meet anybody when you are not dating?" Well, I went to the Netherlands and I came back and then I got a phone call and I made an invitation to three missionaries to come to my church and then there was this one phone call from Belgium. I will never forget the words. Calling me was Albert. As his deep voice came through the phone lines, again, the voice declared, "He is the one." I was thinking, no, that can't be. This guy has to be at least 7 feet tall. I don't think he fits the description of the man I have been praying for. October 16th of 1994, he walked into my life, 5'10". Albert joined the Good News Band. He amazed me with his extraordinary voice and his smile, but most of all, that one evening when he said, "I have to go and pray until sunrise." When you have touched the ceiling of heaven with your prayers, then you know. God is listening. If you have walked into places in your prayers where only the Spirit could have taken you, then you know there's nothing like it. Nothing in this world, and you can name it all, can have the same impact on you, others, or life itself. All the visible surroundings vanish when you move into the prayer zone. One time, I was praying in my bedroom sitting on the floor. All of a sudden, the room was filled with angels. There must have been thousands of them. The greatest feeling of joy came over me. The angels were not visible to my eyes, but with my eyes closed, I could see them. Now, why did they come? What was the reason? Did they seek to be worshipped? Click on the Angels tab to the left to read more. Ingrid Howard. Now, I know of very, very few people that are running right now that take such a spiritual stance. Even Mike Huckabee, who professes his Christianity, has not really gone into depth. And here we have a candidate and his wife professing their faith, and in a very unusual way. They're being prophetic about the participation in this campaign. And it's not something to be slighted. I personally know the truth in what Albert is saying and what his wife is saying, having seen the ceiling of heaven with my spiritual eyes and having touched the ceiling of heaven in prayer. Not just for myself, but more for others. So I find that quite interesting. Now, there's his website is pretty thorough. He definitely lets you know who he is. He puts it all out there for you to see. And I find this quite interesting that there's someone else. Now, I'm not bringing this up to in any way confuse anyone that's supporting Ron Paul, but we should pay attention. It's quite possible here that Ron Paul and Albert Howard, in one way or another, could become the next president and vice president of the United States. I would prophesy that what would hurt having two people who are grounded in spirit and come from a foundation based in spirit. After all, the ultimate truth is found in all things spiritual. There is no truth in the world of illusions. The only truth there is that they are illusions. And the mental games that are played upon the populace, and not just in this country, but overall in the world, are also illusions themselves. Now, I thought this would be interesting. Let's go into the section where he's actually talking about the New Hampshire recount. He put a notice at the top of the page in rather large font. Multiple thousands of volunteers needed immediately with cameras to oversee the recount of the ballots. Blog about this. Spread the word. Thank you. And then he's got a video a little bit. And then there is a press release from January 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It says the certified check for $55,600 was delivered to the Secretary of State today at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I guessed it was the Secretary of State, and yes, that's the case. And then I won't say that I divined that in any way. It was just an educated guess. Okay, now there is another press release from January 14th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time that follows that, and that is, of course, 2008. Addressed to William M. Gardner, Secretary of State, State House, Room 204, Concord, New Hampshire. Dear Mr. Gardner, I request a proper ballot reconciliation for my recount of the 2008 New Hampshire presidential primary election, and that my recount will include hand counting of election day and absentee ballots, including all blank ballots, spoiled ballots, and voted ballots, with each count recorded on the recount form. For each town and or ward counted, I request that my recount include the results from each poll tape, such tape signed by the election judges, to be examined and recorded by the ballot recount team. When preparing the results for the January 8 primary elections, the Office of the New Hampshire Secretary of State prepared a tally using an Excel program or similar program. I request a copy of this electronic tally file and a copy of the original data printout from the tally program as used for the January 8 election. Pursuant to the State Open Records Law, New Hampshire Revised Statute, and I guess that's annual, Section 91-A, 1 to 91, and then Section A-9, I write to request access to and a copy of 1, copies of the original reconciliation form submitted by each election jurisdiction in the state of New Hampshire. It is my understanding that these reconciliation forms include the number of ballots at each location, the number voted, spoiled, and blank, and the number of absentee ballots, as well as the number of voters who signed in to vote. 2. A listing of all towns or wards in the state of New Hampshire that ran out of ballots or requested more ballots or had more ballots ordered, made, and or delivered The number of ballots requested and obtained by each town or ward, including date, time, and location ordered and delivered, and the number of voters checked in to vote at each town or ward. This listing should include the chain of custody for the ballots, including but not limited to the name of those who requested, ordered, printed, and or delivered such ballots. 3. I request the right to examine the poll books for each location. 4. I request a copy of the list of all towns that had machines or memory cards serviced on election day through the present date, together with the names of all personnel who provided such service, included but not limited to LHS. In addition, I am requesting a list of all towns that had machines or memory cards serviced in the 6 weeks prior to election day, together with the names of all personnel who provided such service, but including but limited to LHS. Five, I request the state of New Hampshire obtain and secure all original electronic media, including but not limited to memory cards used in the election, until the federal records retention period has expired, as required by 42 U.S. 1974E. 6. I request a list of every computer containing an election management system, ballot definition program, or tallying program used for the election, together with the location of such computers. These computers should be listed by make, model, and or serial number or other identifier. This list should include but not be limited to all computers used to produce ballots, memory cards, audit logs, or other documents for the New Hampshire election, including but not limited to capital offset, LHS associates, and or any ward, cities, towns, and or the state. 7. I understand that the Office of the Secretary of State of New Hampshire has a copy of each GEMS file in MDB format, possibly in a format called GBF. Each iteration of each of these files contains reports. I request a copy in electronic format of every report available under the GEMS menu item reports for each of these files. Because this information is needed in order to plan for the requested recount of the 2008 New Hampshire presidential primary, I request the opportunity to inspect the requested records by 10 a.m. Tuesday, January 15, 2008. Please note that this request is severable, meaning that denial of any portion of this request does not affect any other portion. If you choose to deny any portion of this request, please provide a written explanation for the denial, including a reference to the specific statutory exemption or exemptions upon which you rely. Please be advised that I am prepared to pursue whatever legal remedy necessary to obtain access to the requested records. Thank you for your assistance. Sincerely, Albert Howard. Now, I find this very interesting because tonight on this other show that I listened to, I heard Mr. Howard with authority proclaim that the person running the election, and let's say administering management over this in New Hampshire, is a felon. And that's against the law for a felon to preside over an election. So not only is it quite possible that the election itself was corrupt, but the person who was in charge of it was not even legally to be there. I have to say that what Mr. Howard has described, and I went through this because it sort of dispels the hanging Chad fiasco that occurred in 2004. I mean, it's mind-blowing. Literally mind-blowing. All the specificity that he has described. And he has made it known that he's aware of the procedures through which these machines operate and what can be expected, what should be found and what should be available. Now, whether that's going to be the case or not is another story. I've heard it suggested tonight by one of the callers into Albert Howard's interview that they should scrap the election and start from scratch, just start over, and put some things in place. They got me to thinking as to how, and this is a little bit of a digression. It got me thinking as to how they used to vote in the old days. And when I say the old days, I mean a long time ago, hundreds of years ago, if there even were elections, or maybe thousands of years ago, let's say during a time in which our history has been obscured from us, much like it has since the middle of the 1900s. I wonder if there couldn't be an effective way of tallying votes, such as dropping a bead in a bottle, and you're given a bead for one candidate, and you go in and you drop the bead in the bottle of the favorite candidate, and you keep it under lock and key so that no one can pick it up until there are multiple witnesses around it. And I don't mean people that are working for the federal government or people that are working for the Republican Party. In fact, they should be people that really have no interest in the outcome of an election. Let's say, let's have people that never vote do the tallies, because they're obviously not interested in voting, so they wouldn't really be interested in the outcome of an election. But I just wonder if by weight or just counting, have a machine that counts that. It would be a lot cheaper, I think, to count beads than it would be to pay the millions and millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, that they're paying these companies, a handful of companies like Diebold and ESNS, to count these votes. New Hampshire, he mentioned LHS. And another company, it really doesn't matter if they're all using the same software or they're using a similar software. They can script the outcome like they want, and you can't replace a tangible object. Now I can guarantee you that a little, let's say like a steel ball or a plastic ball, a little tiny thing like a bead, It wouldn't have a hanging chad on it, let's put it that way, and you couldn't modify the software on it. It'd be a pretty simple thing. But there has to be a tangible way that we can tally votes to where people cannot cross off a name or cross off the information or switch the information. Once you put that little pill in the bottle, it's there. And you can't take it out and put it back into another bottle. Now, does that prevent someone from going over there and just dumping a whole bag full in the bottle of their favorite candidate? Well, not if it's on camera, not if it's on closed circuit TV and being videotaped and being witnessed by multiple people. There has to be a way. And I know the day is coming when there will be a way where the corruption and the deception and the concealment and the lies and the cheating and the stealing won't even be permitted on this planet. But that day's not here yet. But to take steps to ensure that that can occur makes a lot of sense to me. In fact, we would be propelling ourselves into a higher state of consciousness just by instilling such integrity into the system. So I found the New Hampshire recount page rather interesting. This man knows what he's talking about. On his About Us page, he's got a beautiful picture of his family, and yes, he's got 8 children and a wife, and they're all smiling in the picture. None of them look evil. They look pretty plain and simple. There's nothing extra flashy about them, but you can see that the kids are bright looking, they're happy, and you can see the love in the family in the picture. And there is a this a certain spirit, an aura about all of them, and even the children. He's got, obviously these are sentimental pictures, and someone could say, well, these are political, but what else can a man show you but who he is? And he's obviously very close to his family. Now, interestingly, I'm gonna move quickly to his issues page. There's a couple of things here that are pretty important, and they ring the same tune as what I've heard come from Ron Paul, just at glancing at some of these things. He starts out with a quote from Henry Ford. It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. Profound words from Henry Ford. Now, primary objectives, and these are the objectives of his campaign. Stop the polarization of America. Stop the domination of the Democratic and Republican parties over our political system. Shut down the Federal Reserve System. By the way, just for your information, those new listeners out there, the Federal Reserve is a foreign entity and it's not American. Return America's gold to Fort Knox and have it audited. Interesting statement he made there, because I've discerned that the gold's not in Fort Knox, and he agrees. And I wonder how he found out about that. It would be interesting to speak to this man. Have Congress and the IRS in a public forum reveal the law that requires Americans to pay a direct tax, unapportioned tax, on their labor. Make computerized voting illegal in all 50 states. So maybe he would go for my little pill in the bottle routine. Keep the internet free and out of the control of large institutions. Keep the internet free is an interesting beginning of that sentence, because I once talked about this several times in the last couple of weeks, that when Al Gore invented the internet, we were told that it was free. It was going to be free, that tax dollars had paid for it. But everything costs money on the Internet. Now, obviously, some things that are sold on the Internet have to be charged. But to be on the Internet should be free. It shouldn't cost money. And that is not the case. So we were lied to from the beginning. Rescind the law called the Real ID Act, so Americans never have to carry a national ID card. Now, just the logic, and I agree with that, just the logic of carrying a card, how is that going to stop skyscrapers from falling down? How is that going to stop these people from flying airplanes into the buildings? Just think about that for a moment. How is you having an ID card going to stop the, quote, terrorism, unquote? Make it illegal to implant RFID chips in human beings. Okay, now we're talking about radio frequency devices that they're talking about implanting in people, and they're about the Verichip is about the size of a grain of rice, so they say. It emanates electromagnetic radiation, which causes cancer, and there are some animals already that have cancerous growth around the implants that they put just underneath their skin on their shoulder, so that if little Fido gets lost, then we have a way to track him down. Of course, they should have, when they did business with Osama bin Laden, giving him missiles and cash, they should have given him an implant, because it's been very easy to track him down. Of course, they do know where he is, and most likely he is dead, and they know that, but they have to keep the boogeyman alive. So give the boogeyman an ID, an RFID chip. educate juries to the fact that they have the right to determine the law as well as the facts of a case. Quite often the judge is instructing the jury on what he wishes the jury to do, not on what the law says they can do. And that usually violates the defendant's rights. Educate juries to the fact that they are not obligated to follow the instructions of a judge, which is basically what I just said. Stop globalization because it is the path to a one-world government. Where we heard that before. Protect our borders. We've talked about that. Restore the environment. We've talked about that. Put an end to the Patriot Act. We've talked about that. Sign up millions of Americans so we can accomplish our objectives. Now, that's a goal. He's got to get people involved in the political process. And I have to say that his message resonates with me. And it also resonates with the message of Ron Paul, which is why I may have prophesied that the two might make a good ticket together, especially if Ron Paul runs as an independent. Now, he says, he goes on to say, presidential priorities, within the first 100 days of my administration, I will fight to pass the following act, Monetary Reform Act, an act to restore confidence in and governmental control over money and credit, to stabilize the money supply and price level, to establish full reserve banking, to prohibit fractional reserve banking, to retire the national debt, to repeal conflicting acts, to withdraw from international banks, to restore political accountability for monetary policy, and to remove the causes of economic depressions without additional taxation, inflation, or deflation, and for other purposes. Now, he gives some links here on how international bankers gain control of America, and the website he gives out is themoneymasters.com, and he mentions Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, and that's at freedomtofascism.com. Now, it resonates with me. I was Aaron Russo's national theatrical screening coordinator. I helped people, volunteers around the country, get the movie placed in theaters. That after Aaron had to get rid of a professional company in the film distribution business. They had probably been compromised by the government to stall or totally blockade any progress in getting that movie out. Yet, I saw people look like they had seen a ghost after they watched that movie, because the reality of the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and this one-world government really sinks in when you see it in a context on a screen, and this is not, these are not actors in this movie. Basically, it's a documentary. And Aaron is interviewing people. In fact, one of the people he interviewed was presidential candidate, Congressman Dr. Ron Paul. And he goes on to say, statement, every leader and nation should not be involved in the Freemasons, the Illuminati, or secret societies. Where have we heard that before? Evident Footprints? This includes John Kerry's and President George Bush's skull and bones silent treatment to the media. In addition, the physical buildings worldwide should be rebuilt. And he gives out another website, emfj.org. Now, of course, all of these websites have www in front of them, but if you just enter emfj.org into a search engine, it'll put the www in there for you if it needs it. Two, the United States government should immediately stop financial support to Hezbollah, Jihad al-Bina, and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which is blatantly against the State of Israel. 3. The U.S. should give the State of Israel our full support to help preserve their sovereignty and freedom. The government of the State of Israel recently made an official statement, "Evangelical Christians have shown themselves to be a true and faithful friend and supporter to the State of Israel and the Jewish people." Now, I have a bit of a problem with that statement in that I'm not clear on how much he knows about how Israel is being used as a pawn to foment war on an international scale, particularly for the military-industrial complex and for the central bankers. So there is one issue that's a bit nebulous here in his stand. I am all for all people in the world being sovereign and being free to worship and live where they choose, according to certain laws, as far as you don't just sneak into a country because you want to. Now, we have this policy here in the United States of allowing people to just come into our country unimpeded, and they're now giving away Social Security. Where is that money coming from? Where does it come from? Whose Social Security benefits are being stolen and given to someone else? Now, if I were to go over to France or over to England or Spain or Denmark or Germany or Switzerland or Holland or any country in the world, they would stop me without the proper papers to get into that country. I know, because I've been to foreign countries, and the first thing they ask you for is your passport, and they look for a visa. Even to travel, you have to have a visa. Why is it people can come into this country with no documentation? That's insane. Not only is it insane, to permit it is treasonous. We have laws to prevent that. Now, I didn't create the laws, but they've been in place for a long time, and most other countries operate on that principle. Why is it so difficult for us to do that? Is that because they want to bring the country down? I think so. Why are they undermining the dollar by stealing trillions of dollars and selling bogus stocks and bogus and stealing from people's bank accounts and stealing their families and stealing their assets and their realty? This is the insanity of what's going on. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that these people are traitors. So what Mr. Howard says here, and I hope I'm not getting too upset for some of you, Mr. Howard is pointing this out. I do disagree with what he's saying about Israel, because it's not about Jewish people, it's about Judeans. See, the term Jew is to mask the Khazars or the Khazars, the Khazarian people that had to lie about who they were. They had to pass themselves off as Judeans, and then they constructed a word, Jew. And they are controlled by other societies themselves, such as the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, and Opus Dei, and the Vatican. They're all controlled by that. These are the people playing the big game. Oh, my goodness. Now, that leads right into his next point. The United States government should immediately withdraw and cut ties with the United Nations in New York entirely. Well, I would go a bit beyond that and say not just cut ties, kick these people out of the country. They're over here planning to form armies to take over our country, and they're doing it right under our noses. I mean, come on, people, wake up. So I agree with him on that point there. Vaccinations. He gives a website, thinktwice.com. We've talked about vaccinations on Evident Footprints. Even last night we talked about them, that they're laced with Trojan horses. And they're toxins, and they're created not for curing diseases. No one's ever been cured of a disease from a vaccination. They just create more disease with it. And that's all their intention is. And their words belie what their actions speak. That makes sense. Number five, the most powerful nation in the free world should not have any homeless or hungry people with empty stomachs. Within the first 100 days of my administration, these situations will cease to exist in America. National health care, why not eliminate sickness and disease in America completely? That's what I was just saying. And he goes on to give a website, thehealingcodes.com. Six, there is almost a church on every city block in the United States. The so-called Christian churches should immediately stop accepting tithes and offerings from their members until they can 100% and completely heal the sick, raise the dead, and turn the world upside down as the biblical pattern commands. The modern-day religious system is the largest and most corrupt organization that ever existed. The life and times of John G. Lake. His effective healing ministry was just like the New Testament. This is what I just said, folks, and I swear to you that I'm reading this for the first time. You're hearing it, and I'm hearing it at the same time. For the first time. That is, unless you've been to his site already. Then you're ahead of me, and you're ahead of the rest of the listeners. That's exactly what I was saying about the corruption in government, the corruption in the church. And the worst offender is the Vatican and the Pope. These people hoard and control massive amounts of gold and silver and gems and oil properties and real estate all over the world. And they have to hide it in caves and tunnels and sunken ships. And they have to steal it. They have to hire armies to steal it, which is one reason why they foment wars. Seven, every working American should not have to experience any red tape to acquire a brand new first home or automobile. Wow, that would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Eight, some 18,000 children die every day because of hunger and malnutrition, and 850 million people go to bed every night with empty stomachs. Now, he's speaking worldwide, of course. 10.5 million children under 5 will die this year. How do you save a child's life? Immediate room and board and guardianship will be provided for the children of women who do not want to be responsible for raising their unborn child or children in the womb. Now, I don't know if this is a typo. It has to be. I'm sure he probably meant to say PlannedParenthood.com, but it says ClannedParenthood.com. I think that's a typo. 10. Free college and tuition expenses paid for every person in America who is serious about their education. This should also include the expenses that are incurred during childhood years, including preschool, private schools, and public schools. 11. Caucasians and African-American relations will not improve and heal in America until what is spoken amongst the races in secret is the same that is spoken in the open light. By the way, I mentioned that Mr. Howard is black. His wife is white. Not that that's important. But I would think that he is in a position of experience to speak on the subject. So, I have used up my time, but he goes on and talks about many more things. I'm going to see if I can get this gentleman on the show for an interview. I think it would be very enlightening. And I'm fairly certain that will take place because He does have a message, and I did hear him being interviewed tonight, and I just wanted to bring this up because we have now two candidates that I feel are strong candidates. In fact, this one is very outspoken and is saying some things that I wish Ron Paul would say. But I will continue with great anticipation hearing the message of Ron Paul and now Albert Howard, and I hope you found some enlightenment in this also. And with that, we have run out of time. Tomorrow night, we are going to have Jim Murray with us again. We're going to continue our discussion of hidden science and hidden technology. Please join us. We've got an exciting show next week. Again, we are going to be broadcasting live on BBS Radio TV, the Ron Paul Rally held at the Haven in Winter Park, Florida on January 23rd. So be sure to pay attention and stay tuned. In the meantime, have a good night, peace, love, and light, and we'll see you tomorrow.